We're going to call the meeting to order. The time is 6:37 p.m. And we'll do roll call.
Brendan Sullivan Sagnana.
Here.
Christopher Griffiths.
Here.
Milt Friedman.
Here.
Robert Schrader.
Here.
Tina Petrich. I'm sorry, Tina Landis.
Here.
Okay. welcome, everyone. The members of the Rent Review Advisory Committee are here to serve as neutral mediators for the cases listed on the agenda tonight. We're here to facilitate a dialogue between the tenants and the landlords and encourage a space of respect and understanding as we go through the proceedings. The Rent Review Advisory Committee does not settle legal disputes, and we do not offer legal advice. Rather, we're Alameda community members, and we're here to facilitate negotiation between parties in conflict. We hope the parties, you, will join us in this spirit and reach an agreement. Again, we do not provide legal advice. Each landlord and tenant is responsible for seeking the advice of legal counsel on any matters or documents related to the specific circumstances. Thanks. Jennifer, do we have any agenda changes?
No agenda changes.
Okay. And are there any announcements?
No staff announcements.
No staff announcements. Okay. And we have public comment. We're going to start with Angie, as always. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Angie?
We have a couple of programs here in Alameda, in which we serve this population. We have two landlords with issues around the people. Sometimes we come to the body when they come to our agency. We also do additional care, so people can call if they have a care issue or just a question about their right as a landlord or a people to vote for other people. We also have a fair housing network. We do a discrimination. It's people that have a complaint about discrimination because you have children, because you're disabled, because of organization. We can talk with them as well. We also, fortunately, are very happy to say that we have some money from HUD, so we're not here in rental assistance in Alameda. So if people are behind the rent or need help with deposit, they can also get help. Possibly they qualify through our agency. So I have flyers and my business cards out on the table. So feel free to contact me if you have any questions about Echo House and our services. Thank you.
Thank you. We have just one speaker for public comment tonight. Is that correct? If not, you can get a speaker slip from Jennifer. Tori Grimm? Tony Grimm? Tori? Hi.
Hi. I just have a question, really. And looking at the information you've given, the whole description of the case and the exhibits, it says exhibit 1 submitted by landlord, exhibit 2 submitted by tenant. Is this probably for me to comment on the case right now? Is this proper?
I can let you know. Public comment is for non-agenda items.
Oh.
So if you wanted to make a public comment outside of what's on the agenda, this would be the opportunity to do so. But just to give you clarification, the committee members are not able to respond to your public comment. So if you had specific questions, maybe you want to ask the staff in the back to clarify any materials you had, but if you wanted to make a comment on non-agenda items.
Okay, can I just ask a question right now? I just have a question.
Well, you would need to talk with staff since we're not able to respond.
Okay, so I can ask it right now.
But yeah, this is
okay.
Okay. Any other speakers for public comment on non-agenda items?
I wanted to add an item here, just give a quick staff update.
Okay.
We wanted to make sure everyone in the audience knew if they wanted to give public comment, the way to do so would be by filling out a public comment card on the pink slip on the table and submit it to staff. So that will be an opportunity now before the cases are heard, and then at the end of the meeting, there will be another opportunity for public comment. Also, just wanted to give a quick update that staff is mailing out a fair housing update brochure for all folks in Alameda. So there's going to be some courses coming up in this fall where there'll be a class on fair housing. Also, the Housing Authority is developing an informational brochure about the rent stabilization ordinance. Your long ordinance condensed into a 2-page brochure, so that will get mailed out this fall as well.
Okay. Claudia, did you? Oh, that's okay. Okay, so moving on to the previous meeting for approval, correct? That's what the consent calendar is. So does anyone have any questions or anything to add or any concerns about?
I'd like to move that we approve the minutes.
I have a question.
Okay.
My recollection of what we decided on PS 417 is not quite what is in the minutes.
All right.
Because I think that we actually changed it a little bit because of the odd numbers. We were requested to do that 6125. It wasn't exactly 5%. And I tried to affirm this by listening to the audio, but I think that the audio is not complete, so I couldn't do that. So,
I'm sorry, tell me again where you are, what you're looking at exactly. Sorry.
Case 417.
Okay.
On new business.
Mm-hmm.
It was there's a period that says following discussion, the two parties came to an agreement of exactly 5%, and I think that that's not quite right. I think that there was a difference in the two values, but I don't recall what they were. But that's why I wanted to ask you, Jennifer, whether there is a formal agreement that says this.
Yeah, we can confirm those numbers by the written agreement that was signed by both tenant and landlord. So if you want to, we can either postpone this to the next meeting if you want us as staff. We can even provide the document itself if you want to have a double check on those numbers.
Is it possible to do a provisionary approval of meetings, just because it's just a number?
Sure, yeah. You could approve it
because
based
on
what the written document shows for the value.
Yeah, exactly, because I think this is pretty clear about the intent.
Sure.
But the exact numbers, I think, are not quite right, and they should be confirmed.
You can do that?
That was...
You just want to make sure when you make the motion that you state that
I actually think you're right about that.
Yeah,
I think
that's
so.
That's
what I recall.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we rounded it to the dollar.
Yeah, we did round it, but I don't think it was exact.
Yeah, exactly. So,
because the woman was concerned about the
just the odd number,
the cents, the 15 cents, as I remember.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what form should the motion then be, that we accept the minutes with a provision that these numbers be checked in 6B, which is case 417?
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
I make that motion then.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved.
Could I ask, this is just for the audio, that when you make a motion that you could just state your name? So that when we do the minutes, we can...
That's a good point.
Mm.
I, Robert Schrader, made the motion.
And then the second came from...
Milt.
Milt Friedman.
Okay, terrific. Is there any unfinished business?
No unfinished business.
On to new business. I just want to state that there's a lot of cases tonight, and so I want everyone to be aware of the time, and we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to be heard. And so we've already received a lot of the document. Well, we've received all the documentation already. We've looked it over at our own time before we come to this meeting. Just keep that in mind. And this is new. If you've been to previous meetings, we thought this might be helpful. So we, the committee, may take into consideration any factors that may assist the committee in determining a fair resolution concerning the rent increase, including, but not limited to, such factors as the financial hardship to the tenant, the frequency, amount, and presence or absence of prior rent increases, including any rent increases that the landlord was prevented from noticing or imposing during the moratorium. That was the November 5th, 2015 through April 1st, 2016. Landlord's cost of operations, including as to historic buildings, those costs to repair or maintain may be higher than comparable costs for non-historic buildings. Any increases or decreases in housing services since the last rent increase, and the landlord's interest in earning a just and reasonable rate of return on the landlord's property. Okay. And we're going to now go through the cases.
So I guess the staff will give a quick summary on the cases before we call the participant. So first staff just wanted to say that if anyone in the audience is here representing a case, that they do need to fill out a speaker slip. So please, again, someone here, fill it out and submit it to staff. Any tenants or landlords that are not present, that it does have an impact on the rent increase and the review. So I just wanted to also give some introduction to this case, these cases on the agenda. They are a little different than what the committee generally sees for rent increases, and the staff summary is provided in the agenda if anyone wanted to see the written summary of these cases. So on the agenda for today, there are 20 cases. To give some background, this is the Beach Inn Tennis Apartments. There were notices submitted for a large number of units, and the property management company has been working with the Housing Authority on processing all that paperwork for the high volume of cases. These cases are also unique because rather than one rent increase offer on the notice, there's two rent increase offers. And the two rent increase offers set forth different processes for review. There's a rent increase offer that offers a 12-month lease. That offer is at 5% or below 5% for all cases on the agenda. There's also an offer of a month-to-month rental agreement. That offer is above a 5% rent increases for all cases on the agenda. The reason that 5% is really important is because it sets forth a different process in the review of the case. So as we move through the cases, we will give a quick summary before the tenant appears or the landlord at the table so we can determine which options are an option for the members of the committee. The 12-month option, based on the rent stabilization ordinance, requires a filing by the tenant by a specific deadline to have the option of that case to be reviewed. So any tenants that hadn't filed by the deadline do not have the option of the 12-month review. That's noted in the case summary on the spreadsheet, which tenants have the option for 12-month review. Also, just want to note that the Housing Authority has been made efforts to contact tenants through multiple means here and has not received responses for 19 of the tenants on the case agenda. We do have documents submitted from one tenant here. So we can move into the first case.
Okay, thank you. Sure. Case number 434. It's the first case.
So this is, just to give a brief summary, this is the address 941 Torpoint Court, unit F318. So if the landlord is tenant representative,
please. Sure. The tenant is Ralph Medina, and the landlord is Darren Carrington and Katie Edwards. So.
And stuff will just state some of the facts that are here in the mentioned. This tenant has the option for review of the 12-month lease offer or the month-to-month rental agreement. We want to ask questions about what the next steps would be if there's not an agreement here, so I can clarify. But for purposes right now, we're going to make the best effort to have an agreement, so we'll just say that there's an option for the 12-month and month option.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Okay, I just was going to give a little history about what's on the table for the options here. The 12-month offer is a rent increase of $121, which is a 4.9% rent increase. The month-to-month offer is a rent increase of $783, which is a 31.5% rent increase. In 2015, the tenant received a $271 rent increase, which was 12.2%. The previous year, the tenant received a $201 rent increase, which was about a 10% increase. And the tenant has lived in the unit since 2012.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. As always, we're going to start with the tenant first. So you have roughly about 5 minutes. If you think there's anything important that wasn't in the documentation, if you want to discuss
sure.
that, go ahead.
I set a few notes here. And firstly, thanks everybody for being here and being willing to discuss this. Appreciate it. You know, I just want to say first up, my wife and daughter out in the lobby, but you know, we love living in Alameda. We like living in South Shore apartments. It's a great place to live. We've actually lived there since 2010. We used to have a one-bedroom apartment. When my daughter came, we upgraded to a two-bedroom. And I think when we first moved into that two-bedroom, the F318, it was around $2,000. And just so over the past 3 years, I mean, it's on here, right? It's 10% and 12%, and then now another 4.9%. You add all that up, it's got a 30% increase over the last 3 years. Unfortunately, my salary hasn't grown at 30% over the last 3 years, so I don't know if that's the hardship argument you said you consider. So, I mean, that's really just my position on it. It just seems to be excessive rent increases over the past few years. So you add it all up, I'm looking at, I'm paying 30% more than I was in 2013 for the same time.
Okay, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So your concern, if I heard you correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you've already had several large increases since you moved into the newest apartment.
Correct.
And your concern is to be able to continue to live there because you like it here in right. Alameda and the apartments, and you think the rent increases are going to jeopardize your ability to live there?
Right. So eventually, it's going to get to the point where I have to move, right? Because I'm not going to be able to afford it anymore. So yeah, that's my concern.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And the landlord, please.
I think generally speaking, we typically base our rental increases off, of course, using our comp set as well as looking at Axiometrics, which provides like an average rent growth. Market rent is what someone's willing to pay today for the unit that you're leasing. And today the unit is currently marketed at $3,024, which is still $400 less than the increase that we're proposing. And we are, definitely within the ordinance of the under 5%.
Just to echo that, I mean, I think different cities know it differently. We are definitely in the business of wanting to have long-term neighbors. We call our tenants or residents neighbors, and we work really hard to provide a good service. So we want them to stay. We want to encourage them to stay. When we look at the rent increases, part of it is looking at the annual increase, but part of it is looking at what the original number was that someone started with. If someone moves into an apartment, if you take any business, think about the economy in 2010, where those rental rates were there when the economy was down in the tank, the rent increases over time will continue to grow, right? So it's cyclical, right? And so if a neighbor moves in the down part of the market, over time when the economy increases, the average market rent will increase as well. So I guess what I'm trying to say is you kind of have to think about not just you look at the whole dollar rent and not just the amount of the increase. Because as Katie said, you know, based on what all of the other landlords are charging for similar product in Alameda, we're still $400 below market, and that's something that we pride ourselves on. You know, we want our neighbors to stay long term. You know, we think it's better for them, we think it's better for us, and that's why we work so hard to partner with all of you guys, and Jennifer specifically, so we can comply with staying below the 5% annual increase. But in generally speaking as well, you know, we think it's better for the neighbor and for us as a landlord to have long-term leases in place. And so we try to encourage those neighbors to stay and lock into a 12-month lease. So we have the ability in our business model for maintenance, for leasing, and turnover. Otherwise, it would be a much more difficult business to try to run if all of our neighbors are on some month lease.
Okay. Thank you. Someone like to review the comments, so I'm not monopolizing.
Go ahead and monopolize.
Okay. We always just like to review comments to make sure we understand it. And if we don't, that way you can say, no, that's not what I meant. So if I heard you correctly, you say it's really within your interest to have long-term tenants, and you appreciate that he's been there since 2010 and that you hope it to continue. And so the rent increases, you work hard to keep the rent increases within the limits that Alameda has set, and you think they're reasonable, more than reasonable, considering the market, and it's not just rent increases, but total value. Is that fair?
Well, we say it's important to comply and meet the expectations set by the RAP. I would separate that and say market is much higher and much better than that, and we're restricting ourselves and definitely working to comply with the intent of the ordinance.
Okay. Good, thank you. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
What's your name?
Darren Carrington.
Carrington.
If we have everyone put their name to search for the audio, we would
have
to have
questions.
Katie,
I'm Ralph.
One of the things that we would like to promote is a healthy and productive negotiation between the parties, and we feel that in some landlord-tenant relationships that people don't get a chance to do that. So the first thing that we want to do is to ensure that there can be a conversation where, Ralph, you might have an opportunity to speak to your landlords and say, look, you know, I understand that you value long-term tenants, you value our relationship, and this is what I'm able to do. You know, would you consider something different? So is there some, would you like to talk to that?
I'm just looking at it, you know, like I said, I look at it as a 30% increase. I know this is only going to 4.9 this year, but it's 30% over the last few years. And I would just propose a different option of going up 2% this year, and that would be 27% over the last 3 years, which would be 9% a year versus the 10%, you know, a year that we're looking at.
I'm not sure if I respond to them. You know, I guess I think for us, you know, I certainly can see why that would be, you know, something you'd want and it'd be beneficial. I think for me, I also have to weigh in and represent ownership who's looking at me saying, yes, but your rent that you're offering is 5%, or less than 5% increase is still $400 below market. And that is a more than, you know, from an ownership perspective, it's a more than a fair approach and still deeply discounted from, you know, like I said, and I keep saying, we prefer, absolutely prefer you stay, absolutely. If you don't, you know, the rent will go up to the next person by $400.
Yeah. You know, I just, you guys said that a couple times, it's $400 below market. I mean, just yesterday I saw on Craigslist you guys had an ad for South Shore, which was $2,908 or $2,980 for a two bedroom, two bath, same unit. And then you're also with a 1 month no rent, right? So if you do the math, it actually brings it down to about $2,600. So I don't know that it's actually what I'm being charged is really $400 below market. If that's what if I were to compare it against that unit that you had advertised yesterday, it's right there at the market.
Sure, I mean, understandably so. I think that every market has a different set of amenities based on location. There are different premiums associated for each apartment, and not one apartment rents for the same amount as the other. If you're on the third floor, you're going to pay a little bit more than you will on the either first or second floor. And we do offer different specials throughout the year, just random lost leaders, not necessarily all of our two bedrooms are offering any sort of concession.
May I ask?
It's on select kind of units that have been vacant for like 10 days, trying to move in immediately.
Sure, that makes sense.
Could I ask a question? Ralph, just confirm me for me again the amount of number of bedrooms, bathrooms, and what floor you're on in the
two bath, and we're on the third floor.
Which is the top floor, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that a premium floor?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much. And how many units are in the
There's 450 in the neighborhood.
Okay.
So I guess that's another option compromise. I would take that 1 month of free rent as part of my 12-month lease renewal if you guys are willing to offer that to me.
And I would say that we adjust pricing every single day based on availability of each floor plan type. And so every day you look, you're going to see a different number. And that unit might may have, I mean, in all honesty, that unit may have, be looking over the trash dumpster, or could be some issue associated with that unit that we have to price it accordingly. So every apartment is priced separately, differently, and is priced differently during different times of the year. So again, that's kind of why this month-to-month premium is built out, because if we had everybody on a month-to-month lease and they all gave notice in December, our business model would crash. And so we try to have stability in our own income stream, but also have stability for neighbors to know what their rent's going to be on a month-to-month basis throughout the year.
So I'm just going to throw something out there. I don't know if this is reasonable or not, but it sounds like you've observed that there might be some other units that are of comparable size, but perhaps in a less desirable or just a different location that might be a little bit more in your price point. I don't know if that's reasonable, but is that a possibility?
So we definitely offer transfers. We offer lateral transfers. Typically, if he'd like to explore a transfer option, he'd pay the current market value of the unit, which ranges anywhere from $2,900 to $3,300, and if that particular unit had 1 month free, it would,
So it's an option. Yeah. Well, the only reason I brought it up was the notion that hey, that I'm paying $400 below the market rate, right? When I saw a unit that was $2,900 with a month of rent discount, that's really. It's about $2,600 if you do the math, right? And so I'm really paying the market rate versus, their comments earlier where they're $400 below the market. That's why I brought that up. I have no desire to move to a different unit. Yeah.
And I think too, it's rents change all throughout the year, and the reason for offering 12-month terms, it gives you that stability to kind of stay within that rental rate where we, the market did go, in a totally different direction, and we wouldn't have any capability to increase your rent, any further by being locked in to the rental amount of $2,556, which again, even with one of our units that is on discount, is still $200 under the fair market value. But again, we do pride ourselves in maintaining the neighborhood, and we are always reinvesting. We've spent over $1.6 million this year to date in elevator renovations. We've done new card gate access readers. We've done $75,000 in landscape improvements. So we definitely take pride in our neighborhood and definitely reinvest.
May I ask two questions? First, the tenant. Have you had renovation in your apartment since 2010?
So I've lived in this unit since 2012 or 2013.
Okay, 2012 then.
No, there's been no renovations to my smoke detectors got replaced, but then, general maintenance things, but there's been no improvement.
Okay. And when you talk about market conditions, who do, as a business, who do you compare yourselves to here in the island of Alameda? Who is your market?
Our immediate market?
Like, who would be your competitors?
Well, we do, Bolina Village is a big competitor of ours. We're priced a couple $100 less expensive than them. We also, Shore Point, Summer House, the Towers. And we're kind of right in the middle of all of our comp set.
I only ask to give myself some clarity because when I hear, market and comp set, I'm like, it's easier for somebody who lives here to kind of get an idea about what you're thinking of when you say that. I think it's helpful.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and down the street from us, Shoreline, and all relative and similar age of our neighborhood.
I have a question for you, Ralph. What are your feelings about the month-to-month versus the 12-month lease?
Well,
I'd like to get a feel for what we're talking about here.
Sure. So my feelings are that the month-to-month is clearly not reasonable, right? And that's $783 increase over what I'm paying now. So it seems like there's not really an option, right? If there's one option that's really terrible, and the other option is not as terrible. It's kind of like it's not good, not like the choices, I guess, with that. But my preference would be to get into a lease, just because the terms of the month-to-month aren't very favorable.
Well, actually, I have a clarifying question on that, even so. Apart from the difference in costs, because a month-to-month gives you some flexibility for living in a place, right?
Sure.
Versus a 12-month lease, which option are you inclined to prefer?
I mean, we've lived there for several years. We want to continue to live there, so why not sign a lease would be my thought on it. But again, when the month-to-month rate's that high, to me it's not even an option.
I think that because this is a 5% rent increase that's being proposed, at least for the 12-year option, and that's something, the 12-month option, and that's something you're comfortable with. There's, in terms of the ordinance that we now have in Alameda, there's not much protection you get from that. But this is an opportunity for you to negotiate for something that, in talking to your landlord, something that you might, something else that you might want.
I put out two options. The 2% rent increase, that would be 27% over the last 3 years, or pay the same offer that a new tenant moving into the building would get, a month of no rent.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard any.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the conditions of the apartment or something like that. I'm just suggesting that this is not. I'm supporting you
and
being able to, talk to your landlord and present your best interests. Maybe there is nothing that you can do about the price. They seem to be, they're comfortable with it, and I mean, to me, one thing that you could say is, look, I just can't afford it. I've got a child. I've got healthcare expenses. I've got this. I've got that. If you can't help me out, I'm going to have to move. You can appeal to them on that basis if that were the case. In the absence of that, you can say things like, look, I'd really like to stay here, but by the way, my stove isn't working, or it's not. We're particularly concerned about rents, and so I'm not raising this as something that is one of our concerns. But I want to encourage you in discussing with your landlord something that you might be more comfortable with.
Yeah, I've never had an issue with, maintenance. If something's broken, they come out and fix it. So that's really not an issue with the stove or anything. I don't know
you know, I can't think of anything along those lines that I would request.
May I bring up maybe a hypothetical? Let's say the tenant can't afford this, and he has to move out. I wonder what the cost would be to clean the apartment, to renovate the apartment, to advertise the apartment, to show the apartment, and maybe, since it changes every day, get less. I mean, because you said it could go up, it could go down, right? It's probably not going to go down, but that was your thesis, so I'm going with it. It could go down. And then maybe even give somebody a month free anyway. I mean, what is that worth? So I've heard, well, everyone's heard, that you value long-term tenants. I don't think there's any reason to believe that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I think it's, I mean, what do you think? I mean, it's got to be tough when you're a tenant and you see a rent increase. That's always tough. But then when you go online and see that new tenants who haven't put in nearly as much time, you know, paying somebody every month, a business every month, gets a free month. I mean, that's kind of tough.
Well, I think that the difference is that new neighbor, call them neighbors, that would be moving in would be paying the lowest expense of their monthly of $28.50. So it's not like we're bringing in new folks that are paying less than what he's currently paying. So we're not,
say again, I'm
so
sorry.
The unit, the least expensive two-bedroom that we have on the market, mm-hmm. is $28.50, mm-hmm. and that's for our 1,120 square foot apartment home. And so it is still $400 more than what he's paying. With a month free, sure, if you amortize that over a year, it may reduce, you know, in their monthly expense, however you do your expenses monthly, by $200, but it's not, we're not bringing people in at his rent or lower, and offering a month free on top of that.
That's true.
Well, now,
I think Brendan's actually making a really good point, because then you also have to deal with vacancy, and as soon as you have vacancy rates that you're balancing.
I understand what you're saying. There's a cost of losing a tenant, neighbor having to turn over. I think that, you know, to answer to Rich, what you're saying, yes, I think the answer would be to maintain that continuity of having a long-term neighbor stay with us.
Yeah,
I think we'd be better off offering you another apartment in the building, in the neighborhood that is more within your price range. And we're more than willing to do that. If there's another apartment that he sees that's online you want to take advantage of, by all means, we can facilitate that transfer into a less expensive apartment that's more within his budget.
Right. He's already stated that he doesn't have any interest in that.
Right.
So.
Because that doesn't make sense to me.
But it sounds like we're very close, though, because Mr. Medina has offered up to, you know, approximately 2-something% as something that he could really comfortably pay as an increase. And considering that you do value your tenants, and you know, he certainly has been there, one of your tenants in longstanding relationships for now 6 years approximately, it seems like we're really close. Do you think that there's any possibility that you could, you know, just come to a middle ground between those two percentages?
I think that's a tough ask for our ownership because, again, I know I'm repeating myself, the 4.9% increase is within the intent of the moratorium, as well as it being, you know, from our view of the world, you know, $400 less than market, and I don't know if I'm comfortable in recommending that to our ownership, but I don't know if our ownership would approve that.
So are you saying that you're not able to, you would have to go back and get approval for something?
So I represent ownership, uh-huh. and I'm not comfortable with an increase less than the 4.9 you put out there.
Okay.
And should the neighbor be closer to what our, you know, current value for the market is, the increase, you know, we don't increase everyone at 5% just because we can. Mm-hmm. If someone is paying, you know, what our market rate is, then absolutely that they, you know, we wouldn't give them an increase. There mm-hmm. wouldn't be. You know,
are you authorized to offer a lower rent?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean,
ownership expects us to follow through with the rent increase that's either at market or within the restrictions with more time of 5%.
I think that actually, if I can speak from Milton, this has to do with ownership representation in the RAC meeting. What we want to have are people who can make a decision about the rent. We not have to go back to someone else and get approval. So that's really Milton's question is, do you view yourselves as in that position or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We provide.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
We provided the documentation.
Okay.
Yes, but then when I hear that, well, ownership will not probably want to go that way, that doesn't sound right to me because the owners are supposed to be here.
Well, he did just say, I represent ownership, and I'm not comfortable with it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Right? I heard that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think since we've got not a whole lot of movement, I just want to remind everyone what the process is. If there's not an agreement between the two parties, then it kind of gets taken out of your hands, and it goes to us, and we make a decision. We vote is what we do. There's different processes for if something is within what the moratorium says and if it's over. This is under the 5%. So it would be a non-binding agreement. Am I correct in saying that?
If the committee makes a recommendation because there's not an agreement between both parties?
Correct.
But I can clarify. Since the tenant has stated that they're interested in the 12-month lease option, that option is 5% or less. If the committee gives a recommendation, that recommendation will be non-binding. There is an option for appeal, and that can be discussed with staff later, but if we look at the step right, and the rest of the committee's decision would be non-binding.
And may I ask, just for clarification, if there is an appeal by either party, is the rent increase proposed automatic, or does it have to wait until the appeal process plays out?
Because this is for the 12-month lease option that we're really discussing here, there would not be a delay on the rent increase. That's what you're asking.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everyone understands the process.
Drilling out, that would not affect the effective date of the notice.
Okay. Ralph, are you clear of the difference between the two?
I am.
Okay.
I understand.
Right.
Okay.
And so have you decided which way you want to go?
Well, I mean, I don't know if the committee can make a recommendation on the month-to-month as well. At least I have an option to choose from, which I want. Either take the four, because it doesn't seem like there's any movement on the 12-month lease. So at least I can have the option if I choose to move out, it'd take me some time to do that. So I may want to stay on month to month. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because the ball really isn't in our court. The ball is in your court.
Right.
Because there are two different processes that take place here depending on your decision, but you have to make a decision. You can't have both options and then have us make a decision on both options, I don't think.
Well, why not?
I'm wrong.
Well, right now it's like I explained, making a decision between a really bad option and a less bad option, and I have to choose one of them. I'm not going to choose the really bad option, right? 31.5%. I'm not going to take that.
Well,
option.
I'm not directing you towards one option or the other. All I'm saying is that you have to decide, and we have to hear it, because. The processes are different depending on which option you choose.
So could the committee make a recommendation on both a non-binding recommendation on the 12-month lease and a binding recommendation on the month-to-month lease?
I don't think
that's how it goes.
Yeah, we'll let Jennifer answer that.
The reason that we're getting back to this point, and this is sort of just bringing up that the situation really is unique. I just want to address that first for the ordinance. So the question is, outside of the prices, we need to understand your choice about what sort of rental agreement you want to be on, because that's going to direct the conversation.
Sure.
And we can't just keep leaving two on the table. We have to have, at this point, we have to move forward with, you know, if we just look at, are you interested in an agreement that would be on a month-to-month basis or an agreement that is a 12-month lease?
I'm interested in an agreement that has more favorable terms than what the two proposed options. So I would like to do a 12-month lease, but it doesn't seem like there's going to be any agreement on that. You've informed me that whatever you guys say is going to be non-binding there. So is it possible to, I guess, what would the other option be as far as off the land?
Before we get into that, could I just make a comment? I think it's very interesting to hear how this has changed. All of a sudden, where you have a long-term tenant who's been with you for 6 years, who is 2 percentage points, well, not quite, 3 percentage points away from what you're asking, and even proposed a different alternative, which is the 1 month free, and now he wants to know what his options are for basically leaving.
Well, and what the options are for our deliberation is what it comes down to.
I just want to point out that I'm
raising the issue is I want to make sure that I understand what your thought is so that we know what we're doing. If we close mediation, then we have to make a decision one way or the other. And the effect of the decision is different depending on if it's 12-month lease or whether it's month-to-month because of the difference in cost. If you go with 12-month lease, then is a recommendation, but you also lose the ability to have a binding hearing. It's very important for you to understand that. If you go with month to month, then we'll make a decision regardless in either case, but your response to that can be different depending on the two. You would then have the option to go to a binding hearing.
Yeah, I guess the hard part is for me to decide that is I don't know what the other option is, right? I don't know what your recommendation would be.
Okay.
So I'm choosing between 4.9% or 33% or 31.5%. I don't want to pay 31.5% more rent.
Right.
Right. So yeah. I understand the procedural stuff, but it doesn't really leave me with an option.
Yeah, that's actually one of the issues about the ordinance is that we have to follow the ordinance. That's our job here.
Right.
And I recognize the situation you're under. And once again, we started the meeting by saying we don't give legal advice.
Yeah.
And this ends up being a legal issue. It really is. So I don't know if I can personally help you.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. And I that's fine. I understand how the process works. I understand this thing. So I guess to answer your question, you know, I am looking for a 12-month lease or a longer-term lease, potentially. My wife filled out the form. She mentioned, hey, what about an 18-month lease, month lease at a more favorable rate? But like I said, there hasn't been much movement on the other side, so I don't know.
Is longer than a 12-month lease possible, or is that just not part of your business plan? So generally, or no, you don't?
I've never offered anything.
Okay.
Longer than
12. Okay. And so 12 months is what we want to decide on, right? Because the month-to-month, 31.5% is clearly not possible.
Right.
Right. I think that's safe to assume. And the 4.9% is firm. There's no movement for that, even after hearing that the tenant would consider moving out.
Correct. I mean, we feel that the 4.9 is fair. It's market. It also is within the parameters that has been set out here for this hearing and for these ordinances. Again, you know, if the price is the issue, we're happy to look at other options within the neighborhood and find an apartment that's more affordable for a neighborhood.
But Ralph, you said that wasn't an option you were willing to consider.
Well, there's not, but they also said that my unit, the two-bedroom unit, isn't going for less than what I'm paying. So I don't know that that's an option.
I think
it's
he was.
We're happy to go through what's available and look at the pricing for each one, or if you've seen something advertised, we're happy to honor that or look at. Look at, if you've seen another apartment, you mentioned one of
these. The only reason I brought it up is because you guys keep saying that, hey, it's below the market, it's below the market. I pointed out that you had an ad yesterday, which was $2,900 minus, you know, for a 12-month lease with a 1 month free rent. So if you do the math on that, it's about $2,600, which is right around where my increase is. So my point on that is it's not below the market, it's actually the rent's at the market. Not to the,
and it just depends on each apartment, as we said. So, but if that's a good example, if you wanted to move in that apartment and save you money, we're happy to go there to get you to a spot that's more comfortable.
Okay, I'm just kind of hearing us repeat ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to get anyone super frustrated, right? More than they already are. So I just want to make sure that, because we're about to vote, so there's no other possibility for meeting in the middle. Is that correct? Because once we start deliberations, that's not it. If somebody doesn't like what they're hearing, they can't say wait. Is that okay? Okay. And I'm also just throwing this out there. If there's possibility of negotiation without here, like here in this forum, you folks can take, we can, you know, move on to other business and you can negotiate in private if you like. And it doesn't, is that a possibility? Okay. So I think that we have to go into a vote ourselves. Is everyone in agreement to that, unless somebody thinks that we should continue?
No, I just have, I'd like to ask a question.
Please.
One question before we do that. I'm just wondering about the issue of financial hardship and whether I mean, I understand the burden of increased costs, and I'm wondering if you would consider this a real financial hardship.
You know, I think you look at it, hey, 5% at a time, you know, the 5% is not going to be a financial hardship, but looking back at 30% over the course of 3 years, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I have other expenses. And like I said, it's outpacing whatever salary increases I've gotten over the years.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions?
No.
Okay, well, let's discuss and try to come up with an appropriate solution. Won't necessarily be binding, but that doesn't mean that we can't offer some guidance.
Well, I think that, okay, but just to clarify what's happening now is that we're moving into the decision-making phase of the meeting. So now we're going to be discussing among ourselves what we think. Asking questions. We may ask some more clarifying questions in the process, but only to facilitate our coming up with a decision. I'm a little concerned that I don't see any motion here at all, and there are some issues that I have questions about. First of all, if there are 450 units and they price by location, I would expect the prices for apartments, even with the same floor plan or a similar floor plan, to vary significantly. So I think it's very difficult to figure out exactly what the rent is, although I have gone to their website and I've looked at units that are available right now, and I come up with numbers which are very close to what they say this apartment rents for, and this is for a new renter, mind you. These are open apartments that are offered for rent, and a typical number is about $3,068. That's with the pet fee. They charge $50 for a pet in addition, so you have to include that. So it's about $3,068, and they said there's about $324 currently for the apartment. So those match. That's about $3,000 is current market rate. But that's market rate for a new tenant. That's not what you charge for to keep a tenant in place. You know, and we know there's always a discount from that. So I think it's a little bit of a weak argument to say, well, that's what this is going for, because then you go on to someplace like Craigslist, you find out what's really happening is that there are some perks for new tenants. Those perks don't necessarily flow over to existing tenants, mind you. Yeah, you know, I don't I don't think that landlords generally offer a month's free rent to an existing tenant that's been there for 6 or 7 years or something. Nevertheless, I think that the relative value of the apartment on the new market is about $3,000 a month. With the rent increase, he's going to be going to about $2,600. So they claim that, yeah, he's paying about $400 on the market, I think is a valid claim. Now let me go to the other thing, which I'm thinking, which is, you know, Ralph has had significant cost increases on his apartment in the last 2 years. I mean, he's been there for 6 years, right? And moved to a two-bedroom apartment and then has suffered a 10% and 12% rent increase. And so now there's a rent increase which is right at the limit of the ordinance, 4.9%. And I can certainly understand his situation, you know, that this is tough, you know, to live through those big rent increases. And my thought in the matter is that we need to come up with a compromise. And the compromise is, I don't normally say this, but I think that the compromise in this case is going to be less than what the ordinance says. Bear in mind that this, you know, we have to clarify with ourselves what we're deciding on. Are we deciding on month-to-month, or are we deciding on a 12-month lease? I understand Ralph's concern about that, making the decision right away. If he decides the month-to-month, then he has some options that he can exercise independent of our decision. But he's effectively saying, I want you to really consider this huge rent increase. And then I think that it's incumbent on us to consider the fact that it is month to month, and month to month generally goes for more money per month than a 12-month lease does. It gets to be complicated, is my point. So my inclination is to fix my attention on a 12-month lease and make it reasonable.
What's reasonable to you?
$90 a month, about 3.6%. And I understand that the landlord's situation, concern about running a big business like this, but I also have to say that I have more sympathy for Ralph in his situation than I guess the owners do. That's what comes down to. That's my personal feeling.
Okay. No thoughts?
I think I'll pass on my thoughts.
Okay.
I'll come back if I need to.
Okay. I have a couple thoughts, and they relate to the idea of different pricing in the units. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look through the documentation provided, I see a remarkable consistency in pricing. Remarkable. Which is no surprise, considering that you have 450 units. There has to be some kind of consistency. If you look at the 12% offer at the two-bedroom units and on the one-bedroom units, you'll see a pretty static percentage. So when I hear that rent increases, or not, excuse me, prices change every single day, so lock it in now, because it could go down, and as a business, we need stability. But then they don't go down. I mean, I just don't see the intellectual consistency in that argument. But that's not necessarily what we're here for.
I have a question for what you just said, Brendan. When you said you see a remarkable consistency in what the price for it, the value of
in the 12-month offer percentage. So
well,
if you look at
I
the second
that.
Column, yeah.
Yes, there is a very good consistency. It's always 5%.
It's always 5%.
It's almost always 5%.
Yeah, it's always 5%, and it's always close to 2 for the for the one bedrooms?
So
there's some variability.
A little bit, but I mean, for this tenant's case, I mean, I think it's a pretty standard 5%. So I mean, I could be mistaken, but I thought I heard that, you know, each tenant is looked at individually and the pricing they're paying is looked at individually, and that each unit is priced individually, the prices change every single day, that the comp stats, you know, are so wildly all over the place that they can't possibly come up with, you know. So that's what I'm saying, is that just let me finish up my thought real quick, yeah. And then, but again, that's just, I just say that for us, so, you know, when we hear the rationale behind it, that maybe, you know, that adds some clarity to it. So I think the amount of rent increases in the last 2 years is really high. I mean, I can't imagine what I'd do with a rent increase. Well, I would move out. But I mean, certainly I don't know a whole lot of other people that make that much more. And I'm not suggesting that landlords shouldn't get a good return. I think the burden upon a tenant to pay such a high rent increase kind of gets to really the meat of what the ordinance is about and what our role is about. You know, it's not as though this gentleman hasn't been paying more money and isn't paying a lot of money, right? So I'm not necessarily refuting the concerns and the arguments of the landlord. You know, I think...
Can I see you to speak up a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I think that I'm not refuting the arguments and the concerns of the landlord. I think they're very valid. But I think we need to just, when we make this decision, take into consideration the spirit of which the ordinance was passed and what its purpose is. And I think that kind of gets to the idea of what Milt spoke to at the last meeting that we had, both the one in the training and then the previous one before that. So I don't want to put out a number yet because I want to hear what others have to say. So I'll let you go. And we'll let folks say their piece and then maybe you can come back.
Okay. So actually I really want to agree strongly with what Robert had said. And I feel the same way. So I do understand the landlord's perspective, and I do understand the need in order to make increases, and sometimes, you know, any increases are unwelcome, and they're really difficult to be issued. When you receive, you know, an increase, it can be really difficult. Sometimes it doesn't really matter how big or small it is, but my concern is when you have, when you say that you're so, you know, these are your neighbors, and you have this loyalty, and you really value your tenants, it seems inconsistent then to do these really high rent increases every year. So I'm having a hard time with that argument as well. So I feel comfortable with, and I agree with Robert's 3.6%.
I mean, without kind of beating the point to that. I kind of agree with what Tina and Robert have already said, and you know, I think you know our job is to mediate, and it's kind of hard when you know the both sides are kind of stuck on what they want, and you know that's through no fault of you. You have your opinions, and that's what you're stuck with. So you know it comes to us, and we have to make a judgment call. Not you know saying that, but like you know trying to find the most equitable solution that we think can actually be achieved between the two of you. Or the two parties, and there's actually three of you over there, but, you know, in this case, we really, you know, are recommending. We don't have anything else. There is no binding decision with this, and hopefully any recommendation we put forward can be discussed between you two and, you know, considered again after we put this out there, so.
Did you want to come back and add anything?
Yeah, I'd like to say one thing. I think both of you have done a good job of presenting your cases and representing your interests. I actually agree with my fellow board members that the management position seems to be kind of rule-bound. And I maybe that's a consequence of the organization, or maybe that's a, I don't know, you know, some organizations are like that. I think that in terms of, it's to me, the motivating factor has to do with financial hardship. You know, I think, I personally believe that this ordinance was passed because we really want to know if people are suffering because of raised rates. And we want to do what we can within some fairly, you know, within some limits to try to protect people, to give them some protection over time. And it's very hard for us to assess, you know, when that kicks in. You know, when is there financial hardship? It may be hard for people to say, yeah, I have financial hardship, because we don't think of ourselves that way. And I'm struggling with this as a member of the committee. You know, how do we identify whether somebody's in real financial trouble? It's a hard thing. You know, we've had these discussions. You know, can we ask people about their finances and privacy and public interest? And I keep wanting to say, well, I keep wanting to ask people, well, what percent of your salary, of your revenue, is rent? You know, that's a, oftentimes landlords use that as a gauge whether they're going to let somebody move in, whether they make enough money to pay the rent. And over time, does that shift? You know, yeah, maybe once 5 years ago you were your rent was 35% of your income or whatever number is being used, but now with these raises, well, now you're at 50%. And that's a financial hardship, whatever your income is. I don't know how to deal with it. But my own feeling was, Ralph, at least in whatever way we said, I don't have the feeling that you can't afford it. And so I think that we've, you know, as a community, we've done our best to sort of say, you know, 5% is our threshold. We really want to make sure that if something's going to be over 5%, we take a look at it. And those are my feelings. And I in terms of my recommendation, I would go along with the consensus of the group. I don't have a strong feeling about what it should be. Okay.
I have a couple of questions. I made a spreadsheet from this spreadsheet, because we've got these 20 different cases. I'm trying to figure out what you're doing. I just want to clarify with you what you're doing.
There's actually only 12.
No,
they're ones that are crossed off are the ones that we provided in our P54, and it wasn't updated. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I just also need to interrupt for a minute here. Yeah. We are over the time limit we generally provide for each case, which is 40 minutes.
Okay.
So you, as a committee, can decide to spend more time on this case. I just want to make sure everyone's aware that we are over the time. And to address the questions about the spreadsheet, we will be getting into each case after this one. There are 20 cases on the agenda, though there are some cases that.
Yes, I understand, Jennifer. My question has to do with all of the cases.
Okay, well, not we want to check in with the committee about the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to have a vote, and then if there's follow-up questions, unless you think it's going to impact your vote right now, maybe we can do it afterwards.
I don't think it'll impact the vote.
Okay.
I think that we're dealing with a particular case, but I defer to the chair.
Okay.
But I would still like to ask the question later on.
Sure.
And also, I think that we have an open issue because Darren had any input you wanted to give us, are we going to?
Yeah, and we'll get that input, but I'd like to have the vote first.
Okay.
Because I made pretty clear that.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So I would like to have a vote on a rent increase for doing the 12-month option. Time it made clear that the other option is not on the table.
Not in play. Mm-hmm.
So.
I think we have to motion, so I make a motion that we decide on a 3.6% rent increase, which is $90 a month for the 12-month lease.
And I second that motion.
Is there any, well, we'll go back one motion at a time. All in favor?
Aye.
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 So it's unanimous.
It's unanimous. We are voting for we're recommending a $90 a month, which is 3.6% rent increase. on a...
Can you clarify, would the effective date be the same as in the notice?
Yes, the effective date is the same, I believe, which is the 12th of September, as it would have been in the normal rate increase provided by the landlord.
I think that's covered by the ordinance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the committee can make a recommendation of the amount and the effective date.
Maybe. But we'll make it consistent with the ordinance.
Let's make the motion consistent with that idea.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes. $90 a month, 3.6%, effective the 12th of September, 2016. Okay. Thank you. And if there's comments, we could be real quick.
I'm not sure it's relevant. I was just going to clarify that the daily pricing approach is the market price for vacant apartments, not for existing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And this is I'm sorry, I was just going to say, I know you said that you were both really stuck to your positions, and I appreciate that, but it's not just air that we're expelling up here. I really hope that it can hopefully think, like, be in your minds about negotiating. That's why we do it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And before you leave, I just want to give a quick announcement that staff will follow up with the parties tomorrow, and we'll explain what the next steps will be.
Okay.
And if you have questions, feel free to give
us that. Okay.
Thanks.
All right, thanks
so much.
Now, we had a question from about maybe going on with the cases. Bless you.
Yeah, this has to do with the other cases. You're right to point out that there are 11 cases left, but what I was looking at was a strategy regarding rent increases that South Shore Apartments adopts. So I wanted to ask a question of you, Darren. Is it true that if an apartment is substantially below market, you raise the rent 5%, and if it's at market, or just below market, you raise the rent 2%?
I mean, I think that's not generally the consensus, but we've even had situations where we've reduced rent if the market is in a different direction. And it's not that, we can't ask our current neighbors to pay more than, what we're asking kind of through the front door. So we do believe that our systems are fair and that we absolutely honor our current neighbors. And you'll see that. I mean, you see that there are some that are 1% increases and 2% increases, and it's not like we're just going for 5 because we can go for 5. It's we have long-term, born in 1973 and have long-term neighbors there, and part of that process is kind of catching up to the
Okay.
Jennifer, could you clarify this, the number of cases that we have to actually hear?
So,
I'm confused because how many people are actually planning to show up?
Okay, so since we've resolved the first case, we can move on to the next case, and I can let you know what the procedures will be. Is your question that you asked?
Okay.
We had moved on to the next case because you had had that follow-up question, but once we do, then staff will give a summary so we can discuss.
That's fine.
Okay. I think some of these are going to come off really quickly because they've already been, but I think we have to verbally say them out loud and so they can give
them. Yeah, I understand.
Okay. I think it's 11, but okay. Moving on to the next case number.
Okay,
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just want to give a quick announcement. Since this situation is really different than how the committee generally hears cases, I'll give a quick summary. The way that the agenda works is that any cases not resolved 1 week prior to the meeting go on the agenda. However, there's a week there, so there might be cases that get resolved before today. Of the 20 that were on the agenda, 8 were resolved prior to the meeting. So there's 12 cases we'll hear tonight that haven't been resolved. However, if the tenant is not present at this meeting, the committee will not take any action, and the effective amounts in the notice, or I guess the notice amounts for the 12-month and the month-to-month option will become effective as stated in the notice. Okay. The committee will give no action. So what we'll do as we move through this is Brendan will state the case number and the address. And if it's been resolved, staff will provide a summary of the resolution. And if not, staff will ask the tenant to come up. If the tenant's not here, then we'll just move on to the next case. And I want to make a quick statement too to the audience that if there is a tenant in the audience, please do fill out a speaker slip so we can make sure that your case is heard.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to speak to Kristen for a second. The reason that she's bringing this up is because when the agenda is published, then the RAC has a responsibility to deal with the agenda which has been published. The fact that many of the cases have been clarified already, still we're required to call up the case individually with an agenda and clarify that they've been resolved and not resolved. Okay, yeah. Just so you know what's going on.
Okay. Okay. So moving on, case number 435. Yeah, we have to make a. That's okay. We need just a. Because this gets recorded and gets put in the minutes. So. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, bear with us. We'll get through it. Case number 435. Do I get the address? Yeah, okay. 941 Shore Point Court, Unit F314.
This case was resolved prior to today's meeting. It came to an agreement between a 0% and 5% rent increase.
Okay. Thank you. Next, case number 441, address 941 Shore Point Court, Unit F111.
I don't have any speaker slips. Is there any tenant? Okay, so the tenant is not present, therefore what's stated in the rent increase will be effective.
Okay. And just for a verbal record, the rent increase is 1.9% for 12 months and 21% for month to month, correct? Okay. Next is case number 442, 941 Shore Point Court, Unit F106.
I don't have any speaker slips, so the information on the notice will become effective and no action by the committee.
Okay.
We can state the.
Yes, please.
Okay, so the 12 month option that will become effective is the 5% rent increase, the month to month option is the 76.5% rent increase. This will become, either option will become effective on the 2nd of October.
Thank you. Next case is number 444, address 915 Shore Point Court, Unit E323.
We don't have any speaker slips for that, so the rent increases will become effective. It's a 5% rent increase for the 12-month option and a 24.8% rent increase for the month-to-month option. The effective date is the 12th of October.
Okay. Next case, number 446, 915 Shore Point Court, Unit E317.
This tenant is vacating the unit.
Okay. Case number 448, 915 Shore Point Court, Unit E306.
This unit came to an agreement prior to today's meeting. The agreement was for rent increase between 0% and 5%.
Case number 450, 915 Shore Point Court, Unit E304.
I don't have a speaker slip for that unit, therefore the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. The notice states the rent increase for 12 months is 4.9%. The rent increase for the month-to-month offer is 23.8%, which will become effective the 19th of November.
Okay. case number 455, 915 Shore Point Court, Unit E226.
We don't have any figures left for this unit. Therefore, the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. This is a 5% rent increase for the 12-month option, 32.5% rent increase for the month-to-month option. Effective date is 9/27.
Case number 461, 915 Shore Point Court, Unit E113.
This unit came to an agreement prior to today's meeting date. The agreement was for a rent increase between 0 and 5%.
Case number 463909 Shore Point Court, Unit D322.
This unit was approved for a postponement and will be placed on the October 3rd RAC meeting agenda.
Okay. Case number 472-344 Westline Drive, Unit C305.
This unit came to an agreement prior to today's meeting. The agreement was for a rent increase between 0 and 5%.
Okay. Case number 475, 300 Westline Drive, Unit B229.
This unit also came to an agreement prior to today's meeting. The agreement was for a rent increase between 0 and 5%.
Case number 476-330 Westline Drive, Unit B427.
I do not have a speaker slip for this unit, so the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. That is a 1.9% rent increase for the 12-month lease and a 19.7% rent increase for the month-to-month offer, which becomes effective the 6th of October.
Okay. Case number 478-344 Westline Drive, Unit C202.
And I don't have a speaker slip for this unit, so the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. 5% rent increase for the 12-month offer and a 71.5% rent increase for the month-to-month offer effective 8th of October.
Case number 480-344 Westline Drive, Unit C209.
This rent increase, there was an agreement for it prior to today's meeting. The agreement was for a rent increase between 0 and 5%.
Case number 487, 300 Westline Drive, Unit A313.
We do not have a speaker set for this unit, so the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. 5% for a 12-month offer, 31.2% for the month-to-month offer, effective 14th of September.
Okay. Case number 488-310 Westline Drive, Unit B101.
I also don't have a speaker slip for this unit, so the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. 5% for the 12-month offer, or 31.3%. for the month-to-month offer, effective September 12th.
Case number 490-310 Westline Drive, Unit B103.
There's no speaker slip for this unit, so the rent increase will become effective as stated in the notice. 5% for the 12-month offer, 31.3% for the month-to-month offer, effective the 1st of October.
Okay. Case number 497-300 Westline Drive, Unit A216.
And I have no speaker slip for this unit. The rent increase becomes effective as stated in the notice. 2% for the 12-month offer, or 41.5% for the month-to-month offer, effective the 25th of October.
Okay. Those are all the cases, unless I'm mistaken, right? Those are all the cases.
And then I have a question for Jennifer. Jennifer, case 463 has a start date of tenancy, which I think is an error. Will you check that? Because that case is being postponed. So when it comes to us,
not the second date is in the future.
In the future, yeah. that can't be right. So would you please correct that?
Thank Good you. Catch. Okay. Folks, you're all set. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. There's also time for a second public comment on non-agenda items.
Sorry, we have one more agenda item.
Oh, we do? I beg your pardon. Oh, that's right, we do. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
rewind.
The opportunity for public comment if anyone in the audience wants to fill out a slip for non-agenda items, but we do have one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Beg your pardon. Okay. Let me get on this thing.
And we can provide you a hard copy
if you need it. It's okay. Technology, which is making things more difficult, clearly. Look at this.
I know,
right? I should just embrace my Luddite self. This is clearly not. All right. So. A very good place to start.
Mm-hmm. You could just call it the agenda item.
Beg your pardon?
You could call it the agenda item.
Sure.
But just if you could say the title and the staff would
do it. Yeah, where's the agenda item? So this is for the rules and procedures that we've done. They've been amended on the 7th. September 7, 2016, in regards to concerns that committee members had. We wanted some clarification on items. We're going to discuss that now.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So Steph wants to just provide for the audience as well a quick summary about this agenda item. In 1979, the Event Review Advisory Committee was created by the City Council. In 1997, the committee first established rules and procedures to provide guidance on general matters such as membership, maintenance, roles of the officers, duties, minutes, and so on. In 2000, these rules were amended. Then we've had in September and then again in March some council action concerning the committee. So in September, Ordinance 3132 became effective, which added the committee into the Alameda Municipal Code. And then in March of 2016, the City Council approved the Rent Stabilization Ordinance number 3148, which sets forth new responsibilities and guidance for the role, the committee's role in resolving rent increase disputes. We want to note that on the committee meeting held August 1st, the committee members reviewed the first draft of the rules and procedures and provided comments and feedback that have been incorporated into the current rules. And the recommendation is that the committee review and approve the proposed amendments.
Thank you.
So we're considering approving this, is that right?
Correct.
Review and approve.
Review and approve, right.
Is recommendation.
Yeah. Okay. And Robert, you had a specific question last time.
Oh, I sure did. Nice little dude.
all right. Let's
Sorry.
Go to it.
Okay. B3, maintenance of membership. Who excuses attendance? It says, whether excused or not excused, I see nothing at all in any ordinance or any regulation that ever says that anyone here can be excused by somebody. Who would do the excusing? I think that line should be struck. It's simple.
What do you think their intent was?
The intent was taking in the, well, who knows, it was the wording in the original rules and procedures, much of which had been struck, but that wasn't. And I don't know where it came from. It just maybe had been historical, but we don't have any rules or procedures for excusing someone from the meeting, so why should it be in our rules and procedures?
I think that's wise, but I think the intent was also to say that, to make sure that you don't have someone who volunteers, gets approved by the city council, or well, nominated, then approved by the city council, and then never shows up. So I wonder if we should keep the 75%.
Oh, well, we should. In fact, that's in the ordinance.
He right. Just meant striking.
I'm sorry. Oh, I think
it's
part of
the excuse or not.
Because it doesn't
mean anything.
It doesn't
mean anything.
Okay.
Suggesting a strike, and I think that's fine.
That's fine. What do you think, Chris? Yeah?
So, you know, if we wanted to do this formally, we would have a motion to approve, and then we would have amendments to that.
Okay.
I think. That's one way we could accomplish this.
I guess it depends on how we operate. Generally, according to Rosenberg rules, which is our guideline, we have a discussion after motion is made. So
yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, you make a motion, then you discuss the pros and cons of it,
yeah.
And then you make it. Then you have a vote.
Yes. And if you want to change it, then you do that through amendments.
Okay.
Well,
fair enough.
In other words, you could amend the motion to strike that phrase.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the order of being structured, which I think benefits us all, I agree with Milt.
Okay.
I think we have a motion. Want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to. I move that we adopt the rules and procedures that were amended as of September 7th, 2016.
But don't we now have to take into consideration the changes?
Then we discuss it,
yeah,
and we consider amendments to the motion.
Got it. Thank you.
Let's proceed again, because this is a little bit tricky. A motion is made and seconded. That starts the discussion. At the end
right.
of the discussion, after amendments are made to changes and so forth, then a vote is taken, so a decision is made whether you take the amendments or not, or whether you continue it or whatever, but you really can't do any of those things until a motion is made. That's what Musk is saying, and I think that's what Rosenberg Rules of Order says as well. So I agree with that. It's a little counterintuitive, I agree, but that's kind of the structure of the way public meetings are held, is my understanding.
Okay. So would you indulge me with making that motion again?
So, yes, I'd like to move that we adopt the rules and procedures as amended on September 7th, 2016.
Okay. I second.
Good. Now we can have a discussion.
Okay. No, we vote. Oh, no, we don't.
No,
you're right. We don't vote.
Oh, because a vote
we have a discussion.
Binding after
we have
finished.
A discussion.
So is there any discussion?
Go
that's what you said.
Ever.
Is there any discussion?
Yeah, is there any discussion? So thank now you get to say it.
No, I can say it. Well, no, I already said it. I mean, I said it. We changed the procedure after I said it. But, you know, basically, I'll say it again. I think we should strike out the phrase, whether excused or not excused, from B3. Small b, because it's redundant. Leaving the 75% in, what it just for the public to understand what I'm saying, the B3b says failure to attend 75% of meetings held during any 12-month period, whether excused or not excused, and a majority vote of the city council to remove the member from the next page committee is a reason for a person not to serve. And what I'm saying is that, yes, I understand the 75% or the 12-month, I think it's a good rule, and a majority vote of the city council is required to remove someone from the committee, but this thing, whether it's excused or not excused, doesn't make any sense to me, because we don't have any procedure for anyone excusing anybody or not excusing anybody. So I think we should just strike those one, two, three, four, five words, whether excused or not excused.
So now, and you can now move to amend the motion by striking those words, and then we can vote on that.
Okay, I move to amend the motion by striking whether excused or not excused, comma, from B3B.
I second that amendment.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes.
Passes.
There's one. Have a Actually, it's more of a clarifying question. Under office, I'll just go through, but hang on my list a second. Under officers, and the secretary has some responsibilities to make minutes of the meeting. What about the audio tape? Shouldn't that then also be specified as a responsibility?
That's a staff role?
Yeah. Well, as a secretary. I mean, you know, AHA is providing us administrative support. And I don't see anywhere in here it says who's responsible for the audio.
I suppose the section B there where it says keep a written record of all business transacted by the committee notified members, and then the last phrase, perform such other duties as the committee may direct. And that has sort of been inherent with that. And later in the rules and procedures, there's a note that audio recordings are kept. And so it is addressed that way.
But the concern I have about that is that I don't think that is a committee requirement. That's more of an overall requirement of the Sunshine Ordinance. It's really above us to have some sort of an audio record. That's a city policy. It isn't really our decision. So it doesn't fall clearly within this.
Oh, that you're directing them.
Right. And where did you say it says to do that?
This is section C3B.
We could put another,
there's an A and a B under the secretary, so we could include a C that says maintain audio records for a public meeting.
I have an even better suggestion.
Okay.
After the word, between written and record, we can add so that it reads a written and audio record. So that's it. You know what I mean?
Yes,
so in B
it says
keep a written and audio.
So add and audio.
Yes.
Okay, I would like to, Claudia brought up one point here that if you keep reading where it says keep a written record, notify members of meetings, and then this section it says maintain the official records of the committee, that
through the city would be considered audio recording. Your concern is that it's not clear
enough?
I see.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that because that does allow you more flexibility. I mean, it may sometimes become video, for example, and we shouldn't be saying audio. So I agree with you. So I withdraw my concerns about that. Do you understand what she's saying? No?
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm fine with it.
The biggest problem I have is with duties. Some verbiage has been entered into the duties of the committee. First of all, this is my understanding. The duties of the committee are defined by ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinance 3132, Ordinance 3148. And we have been pretty consistent in our verbiage here to adopt the same verbiage that appears in those ordinances. And yet, this verbiage is different. And since the City Council has already passed ordinances which define what our duties are in two cases, and they're consistent, I question whether we have the authority, much less the interest, in changing that verbiage. And this verbiage has to do with the purpose of the new phrase is the purpose of the hearing is to endeavor to settle rent increase disputes through mediation between parties. That doesn't appear anywhere in any of the ordinances. Nor does it say, and there's another section which says, when the parties have not reached an agreement through mediation, that doesn't appear anywhere in the ordinance either. So I think we should be referring this section back to City Council for some direction. If they want us to include this verbiage, they should so state so that we can follow the direction. Fact of the matter is, I think that, and I've kind of clarified this with City Council members, in terms of policy, we take directions from the City Council. They're our boss. The people who can remove us from position, they set policy for the city. We follow the policy. I don't think we should be making new policy in our rules and procedures.
So where did this wording come from?
I can clarify that it came from the city attorney's office.
But has it been blessed by the city council? Because this is a difference in procedure or policy from what they already passed.
Can you point out the section again? Under duties?
Under duties. It's the third sentence. The purpose of the hearing is to endeavor to settle rent and increase disputes through mediation between parties. That is not the purpose of the hearing according to either of the ordinances which formed RAC formally under the city council. Because there's a difference there, I think it's incumbent on us to bounce us upstairs and get some decision made on city council if they want us to do that or not.
Because I'm not really following why it doesn't follow. The purpose of the hearing is to endeavor to settle rent increases disputes through mediation between parties, which is what we're doing as a RAC right now.
That may be what we're doing as a RAC right now, but that's not what we're supposed to do according to the ordinance. Nowhere in the ordinances I just mentioned does it mention or does it state anything about mediation. If it doesn't.
I think
it
the
says
concern
render
is
a decision concerning the rent increase is decision. Now, I'm not against mediation. All I'm saying is that when I see a section in our rules and procedures which does not follow the ordinance, then that raises a red flag to me that says that we should get clarification of this. I don't care if it came from the city attorney office or not. City attorney, if he talked to the city council and got direction from them that that's what they wanted to do, that's fine. But I want to hear that from either the city attorney or the city council.
So is there alternate language that you would put in? Because I think the word mediation is what you're saying.
No,
is not.
It's these sentences which have been added since the last time we reviewed this document. I'm just asking for clarification from city council on whether we should have those or not. If they're in there, they should be in there under the direction of someone who is above us, because that's not what the ordinance says. I don't want to have our verbiage conflict with the ordinance. And this is an issue which is a concern to me, because I can see it was added, but I don't know under what justification it was added. And I don't know whether we have the ability to make that decision.
I think it's actually from the municipal code. This section, this first section, all the way down to right before it says 6-58.85, is the section of the municipal code. So we would have to check that section, because I believe that's the section that has this specific language.
So it's possible.
It's possible that the municipal code has that.
From when the RAC was established.
Right, so we can double check that.
Okay.
It's possible that the municipal code, because this section is referencing section 2-23.4 of the municipal code. Then in the next section says, in addition, in accordance with, and that's 6-58.85, which is the actual ordinance 31.8.
Mm-hmm.
So we can double check that, but I believe it's the municipal code.
I'll put it on record.
2-23.4 that actually states that.
Could I, real quick, I'm sorry, Tina's got to run to the restroom, so she's going to excuse herself from the meeting real quick. Do we need to take, do you want us to adjourn real quick?
Okay. I have to, can you keep
going? And then give us a chance to just double check this.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, we're going to actually take a
okay.
quick recess.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Could you just say the time?
Yeah, the time of the recess is, I can't, thank you, 8:20.
How long will the recess be?
5 minutes. Is that okay? Yeah, okay.
You want 10?
Yeah, I want 10. I think this is an important point, though, because the... Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Never mind.
We can't discuss it.
I meant it was really hot today.
Oh, Brendan, you're good.
I beg your pardon?
These are the loudest jugs for pouring water.
Are they? Maybe it's just the microphone.
That's not bad.
I don't know. Well, I kept pouring when people were talking, and I was like, yeah.
Gosh, I'm very cold. Uh-oh. Don't get me started.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I'm not used to being in social situations.
Brendan, what kind of work do you do? I'm head of international sales for an e-commerce company. So, we sell specialized industrial safety equipment, and we have we're web-based. We started out in San Francisco supplying the Navy ships, and then moved over to Alameda and kind of just switched to beyond that. Just like everything else, it kind of went web-based.
You have like hundreds of things that sell, or thousands of things.
Yeah, a lot. But most of it is pretty specific to industrial facilities, so oil and gas facilities are big sellers, so imagine like monitors that you wear so that they alarm when the backfall safety systems. Mm-hmm. So it's e-commerce, but I like it because it's tangible and it's actually a product. It's not a widget that's created through code. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
no, I understand. I like real things.
Not what I studied. I worked for a long time for Standard & Poor. I started working for them in college, and then when I was still a senior, and then went down to South America and was a manager there for them for 7 years. And then,
like doing a lot of data stuff or sales?
Writing reports, actually, a lot of research. I majored in economic theory. So I kind of liked it.
Reports on companies?
Reports on government. Pending legislation, social movements that might have an economic impact.
That's the best part.
And I kind of built that into the ratings. Mm-hmm. In a very roundabout way.
That's heavy stuff.
Yeah, I like to write, so...
Oh, it is.
Nice
it is.
For me. I could put on my headphones and read my books, and I got to interview people, and, you know, that was nice. Mm-hmm. Felt like an extension of college, so I liked it. Got to travel a lot.
Sounds very different from what you're doing now.
It's incredibly different.
And
the BlackBerry. The BlackBerry.
We're really doing research on outreach. So he's
financial companies have very high time commitments. Financial companies expect very high time commitments, especially from younger employees.
Oh, is it that culture?
Because they still consider themselves almost like a Wall Street guy.
At least you weren't an intern, are
you? I was an intern.
Oh, you were an intern.
I interned for Goldman Sachs and then for S&P. It was awful.
For 7 years?
Minutes.
No. I mean, in college, I did that. I wasn't that good. They kept me. I never
did. So when you went to South America, were you working for Central America? Was it working for Standard & Poor?
I was working for Standard & Poor.
They're going. I think we picked a location. I think we're looking at the sailboat house at Lake Merritt, which is.
Sounds very interesting.
I feel really humbled that I was able to have an experience.
It's nice because we can do the ceremony there and the reception. And we're both chiefs. So
you make it.
Awesome, so we only have to go one.
That's true.
It's really good. Everybody's got
a
chance.
Yeah, we actually like it. So
well,
this is
the door.
That's true.
Favorites.
That's
I mean,
true.
We saw a couple of levels.
Yeah. Okay, 5 minutes is up.
Robert.
I'm the only person they've ever seen my college in my family, so it was a big deal for my parents.
Do we have a gavel?
So, you know, migrant workers from Mexico, so it's kind of a big deal for them.
We could just pour the water.
Wish I could get one of my cousins into school, but I don't seem that interested. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Okay, we're starting the meeting again. It is 8:26.
Yeah, and I'd just like to interrupt before you move on that staff was able to look up and answer to the questions.
Okay. Okay. No, let's hear it. Where does it come from?
Okay, so Robert brought up the point that there was a sentence added that is not included in the section in the municipal code. And we can verify that's true. So one option would be to strike that sentence starting with the purpose and ending between parties because that's not included in the municipal code.
If I had to guess, I would say that the city attorney added that trying to reflect the new ordinances.
No, because I went through the new ordinances. That's my concern. I pulled copies of the ordinances off the web because they're public documents. I pulled off the signed copies and read it word for word. And this is new verbiage, which changed. I have no problem really with new verbiage as long as it's consistent with the policy that was previously passed by the city council. In this case, it's not. And so it either should be struck or clarified.
I would just also state that the point of this document is to provide rules and procedures to the logistics of the meeting, and issues relating to the ordinance is going to be addressed by the ordinance.
That's my understanding as well, which is why I think this should be a direct restate of the duties as expressed in the ordinance which has been passed already.
Okay, so we'll strike that.
So there's that one sentence, but there's also the sentence after 6-58.85. This is when the parties did not reach agreement through mediation. It is also not in the ordinance. So that should also be handled the same way as the previous sentence that I brought up.
Sorry, could you explain, is it the sentence that says when the parties have reached an agreement through the mediation?
Exactly, yes.
Does it say, in accordance with the municipal code 6585, the committee may, as part of its decision-making process, instruct
That phrase was inserted, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't belong in the duties because it conflicts with the ordinance. Or conflict with city code. So those are two things just to be clarified, but I certainly can't accept them without clarification that they really belong to be there by the city council, which the delay is. So I think we should just strike those for the time being. If we want to add them later, fine, when we find out. But for the time being, I move that we amend the duties section to remove the sentence, the purpose of the hearing is to endeavor to settle rent increase disputes through mediation between parties, and also remove when the parties have not reached an agreement through mediation, which appears after 6-58.85.
I second that.
Well,
so we can discuss it now, right?
Of course, we can discuss it then.
Okay, great. Well, I must say that I'd like to clarify this because I'm relatively new, and I got the sense that we do mediation, you know, at least as a first attempt. And I recognize it's not in the ordinance anywhere. And I'm wondering, is this something that is it our choice, you know, to do mediation? If it is, should we state, you know, should we make this a determination? Should we decide that this is what we want to do? This is how we want to go about doing things? Is mediation? You know, we should decide that. I don't know where it comes from.
I think the intent when the ordinance was put together and the conversations with council, I think the intent was that this would be a mediation process. But the issue I think that Robert's bringing up is that it was never actually captured in the ordinance, in the final ordinance. So I think.
And more than that, City Council had two tries. Right. Because they had 31, 31, and 38. they actually changed the duties of the committee in 3148. This very same section.
Right. But the
and
the
did
intent
it either
was
one
there.
Address mediation?
No.
The
it's
intent
a decision.
Was there when the conversations happened. It just
that I
the
agree
word
with.
Mediation uh-huh. or the process of mediation did not get captured in ordinance. So
so it's in the spirit of the ordinance
correct.
To mediate, to have a mediation process. Is that right?
Correct.
It's in the spirit of some parties in the discussion, but not in the ordinance. It is not in the ordinance.
It's not in the ordinance. The process yeah. of mediation is not stated in there. But
I'm
I,
trying to
I,
say
I,
this
yes,
in a way that...
It was the intent. It was...
But
it
that's,
was,
that's...
It was part of the conversation, but it was not ultimately captured. So I understand what Robert's saying. We could strike it. There is cleanup of the ordinance that needs to happen, which would happen at a future date, and that would be an opportunity. Staff has talked to the city attorney about how the word mediation process was not specifically captured. So that is something that is on the table.
I think we should strike these two phrases, well, sentence and phrase.
What about the last sentence?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, and continue with the language that's in the actual ordinance. You're right, and the last sentence. Now that you say that.
Well, let me just, the reason that I was asking about whether we actually do mediation is because there is a section yet to come that describes hearings, and the hearings is described in a way that includes mediation as part of the process. So if we're talking about striking from our rules and procedures the whole experience, you know, the whole procedure of mediation, I think that's pretty radical, and I'm wondering if that's really what we want to do.
I don't think we are. I think what we're doing is until we get clarification from city council, you know, Robert rightly so wants the council to bless what our duties are. And until they do that, we should revert to the actual language in municipal code and
right.
keep the spirit that we're still going.
Yeah.
And then we don't even have to, you know, I think it works, and I think it's within what the city council wanted. They can come back with language at a later
date. Fine.
You could also take the word mediation out and use the word hearing because you're having a hearing.
I think we should just keep the language exactly as it is in the ordinance and continue with the work that we're doing. And then when the city council can come back with specific language that they want us to use.
Yeah. So would you like to amend your amendment to include the last sentence as well?
Well, actually, I think that we should yes.
May I make a recommendation?
My recommendation is that we include, that we also strike the sentence beginning, if an agreement by mediation does not occur, comma, and just leave it as it's in the ordinance, which is the committee will render a decision concerning the rent increase.
So the language matches. Exactly,
so
the ordinance.
Yeah, the language matches. The point is that there was in ordinance 348, these are separated into two paragraphs, section 650.85 B and C, and the duties here combines them into one, which is why you can't just say you're going to have this exactly the same language, but it is exactly the same language. It's just one paragraph.
I would also support that from the staff perspective that the committee will render a decision concerning the rent increase, and that decision is given even if the tenant and landlord are in agreement, the committee still does need to make a motion.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just being consistent with the ordinance is really what I'm after here.
Okay. So do you want to do a...
We should
vote on this
amendment.
We already need a motion.
But we have to vote on it.
Do you have a second to this motion?
Yes. There's a
Tina have seconded.
But do you need to go back about the third?
Oh, actually, yes. We need to have a motion to... Let me make a motion to strike the phrase, if an agreement by mediation does not occur, comma, also from the duties of the committee.
Okay.
I second.
You second?
I second.
All right.
So can we, what's we now?
Can you say your names again? Just
this is Robert Schrader making the motion.
And Brendan Sullivan Sereñanas seconding the motion.
So to restate, my understanding is we now have three phrases, actually one sentence and two phrases to strike from the duties. Do we all understand what those are?
Yes.
Okay.
All of those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good.
Abstain.
Okay.
Moving on, I have another question. Meetings, E4D is a dog. Individuals who have requested to speak on the item will have an opportunity to speak, and that was a question of whether there's a limitation on time.
Could you state the section that you're in?
Yeah, it's meetings, four hearings, and D. This has to do with public comment. Do we have a time constraint on public comment?
It's at the discretion of the chair.
Actually, it's I think it's covered in public discussion in the rules of order. So maybe.
It's right? Limited to 3 minutes, is what's
stated
in
the rules. Yeah. So
the chair can decide to change that.
Right, exactly. So I'm not. I strike that concern about it.
All right.
I have a comment on section F.
This is Frank.
In hearings.
Okay.
So my comment is relates to the last. I'll just read the whole. Let me just. The last sentence of that section F says any member may request additional time for discussion with the parties. And the chair may grant such a request, repeating the poll at the end of such time. What I would like to amend is I'd like that word may, and where it says the chair may grant, to be changed to shall. So it reads that the chair shall grant such a request. So I just don't want to, I think that if one of us wants to continue the discussion, we should continue the discussion.
I'm going to disagree with that one, just because theoretically one of us can try to continue the discussion for as long as they want and block out other cases. I think it should lie with the chair to approve or deny.
Well,
actually, that's not quite accurate because we can always make a motion to limit discussion. And if the majority votes yes, then discussion is limited. Mm-hmm. Disallowed from happening. This is actually a question of the discretion of the chair when you really get down to it. If you say may, then it's under your discretion whether you allow discussions or not to continue with a member. If you say shall, then the committee has a rule to limit it. With me?
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
So this is actually it sort of for me it bears on the question of do we have the opportunity to ask questions of the tenant and the landlord before we vote, because otherwise there isn't such an opportunity. This is the chance, you know.
There
so
isn't
we
an
say
opportunity which is guaranteed by the policies or by the procedures.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So this would say that once we've decided that mediation is finished. We would then have an opportunity to ask our own questions of the landlord and the tenant, or
with
the neighbor in the neighborhood.
With the understanding that, you know, if discussion continues, then the chair or another member can make a motion to limit discussion.
Yeah, I guess that's always the case.
Does that satisfy your concern?
It does.
Okay.
So I would then move to amend the motion to change the word may, following the word chair, to shall. That's my motion.
I second it.
Okay, you beat me to it.
Dang.
That was, yes. Milt made the motion and Robert seconded. Okay. All of those in favor?
Oh, any more discussion?
Any more discussion? All of those in favor?
Aye.
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 Mm-hmm. Okay.
Additional concerns as we move on?
Yes. Why was motion to table struck from committee deliberation?
What section are you in?
Committee deliberation.
Well, you have to go look at the
markup. I
didn't
do that question. Did you have? It was in section.
Section H should be.
Section 4.
Oops.
Item G. But that item, if you'd have to look at the amended version, or the track changes version.
Mm-hmm. That's under H rules of order. Section 4.
Section 4.
Yeah.
Under H.
G. Yeah, I can address that question. We had this conversation with the city attorney motion to table.
Yep.
Due to the fact that the following paragraph, motion to call for question or continue to specific state, addresses the need that the committee might have to not continue either administrative tasks sort of like this one or an agenda item, that would be a case that it would be more specific to the role of the committee to continue to a specific date than to table a agenda item, you know, that might be under a motion because a table might affect the rent increase ability to, you know, delay a rent increase. And that this actually is almost redundant and more gets to the specific points.
That's what I thought. And now I'll raise my concern because we do more than just make a decision on rent.
Right, so for example, right now you're doing the rules of
right,
order,
exactly.
And you're making the amendment, but the ability you have under motion to call for question or continue to a specific date still allows you the same ability that motion to table offers. So striking it provides clarity but doesn't take away any options.
Hmm. The problem with a motion to table is that it can be used to silence debate on a subject.
Right.
Especially from a minority position. And whereas the alternative is to continue to another date, it doesn't take it off the table.
Do you have a copy of Rosenberg's rules?
I do. Yeah, I do. What would you like? But I just would like to reiterate that the City Council hasn't adopted.
Yes, I know, but
it's
but
a guide, but it's not.
It's a guide. But I'd just like to understand what they say about motion
to table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It should be under the motion section. Typical motion.
Do you want to move to the next item and I can read this?
Well, this kind of falls on the next item because even if you look at the wording of the next item, which is a motion to call for a question or continue to date specific, it says a motion to call for the question or continue the matter to a specific date shall preclude the amendments, but that's continuing a matter to a specific date. What's the difference between that and tabling? That's why I'm...
Oh, okay. Well, just to reiterate, the Rosenberg rules is sort of a user guide to the Roberts rules.
Right, exactly.
So it's sort of user-friendly language. And I just want to reiterate that there are certain motions in here that are not included in the rules and procedures, so it's not verbatim taken.
Mm-hmm.
But I can read you the section about, it says motion to table. This motion, if passed, requires discussion of the agenda item to be halted and the agenda item to be placed on hold. The motion can contain a specific time in which the item can come back to the body. or the motion can contain no specific time for the return of the item, in which case a motion to take the item off the table and bring it back to the body will have to be taken out of the meeting.
Which is what he's talking about.
A motion to table an item, bring it back to the body, requires a simple majority vote.
Right. So if there is an item which we're discussing, where do we have the option of not discussing it?
Well, you could not discuss it by setting a specific date for it, but we...
No, that's not the same thing.
I was to finish that sentence, to say if there's an item on your agenda that one member wants to not discuss indefinitely, that's not an option. It was strict from the rules and procedures, since that's not within the ways of the committee.
So your concern is not having that option or having the option?
Oh, I think we should just be careful of what we strike. That's all.
I just want to reiterate that.
Because it was in there before and is consistent with Rosenberg rules. And so what are the effects of not being able to table an item? Well, what does table item mean? Because this says you can continue, but you can't table. You have to say, well, we're not going to discuss this now. We're going to discuss this next month.
See,
as opposed to saying, I don't think we should be discussing this item. So, but let's think about this and then see if we want to.
Let me pose a hypothetical here.
Okay.
Let's suppose I have something I want to discuss, and I say I move that we blank whatever, consider whether to have coffee at our next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't want to talk about it. You say, I move to table. And there's two other people here who agree with you. They just don't want to hear anything this guy has to say. So they just move to table. That just shuts it up. That's what we're saying. We don't want to do that. We can vote on it, or we can continue it, but you can't just shut it off. That's what my understanding is.
Right.
That the move to table is like saying, we're not going to hear anything.
Well, I guess my question is, how is the motion to table ever used in the public meeting?
Oh, it's as I said, it's used to silence a minority voice.
It's used quite commonly, but I don't think it applies to our mission. And I can't imagine, I can imagine, but I'm not going to imagine the scenario in which that would happen here.
It's kind of curious because I would be happier if it was a city policy that was never a motion to table. But if the city council doesn't have that motion, or does have the motion to table, what are we missing if we remove it?
We're just trying to be more progressive.
This will be too progressive, Milton.
It felt like it needed to be amended, and it needed to be re-added.
You
can bring it to the open government.
Thank you, Claudia. No, my concern was that when this was looked over, it was considered that the rent increases would trump this, because we do want to make a decision, and we have to make a decision. We can't table that.
But we were considering as well other items that are not just rent increases, such as special meetings. Review procedures. There's other items that you do consider on the agenda. So that was part of the discussion.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to make a motion to do one thing or the other.
Because I would move the table if you didn't.
I just said that. It's like I can't imagine a scenario in which we would, except for right now.
But you can't. According to our rules.
No, we haven't passed
our rules yet.
They're not our rules yet. That's right. That's the end of the document then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's my part of it. Yeah, your other people.
So I think we're finished discussion, right?
I think we've finished discussion.
I think we have.
Chris, I think you had some more notes about that you wanted to go over though, right?
Yeah.
No? No. Okay. Okay, then we have to vote on it in its entirety, including the amendments that have already been submitted. So I make a motion.
No, it's already been moved. It's already been seconded. We just have to vote.
And its entirety doesn't need a whole new motion because
No.
It's actually
the original motion has been amended.
Yep.
And it's still on the table to be voted on.
And we actually voted on all the amendments too. So the only thing we haven't voted on is accepting.
So Milt voted to accept it, and then the amendments came. So we talked about.
Oh, right.
Amendments. So with the original motion and the amendments, now you vote
got
to
it.
Accept it with
right.
the amendments.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
So let's
thank you, Claudia.
Thank you, Claudia, very much. So let's take a vote to accept the document, the procedures with the amendments. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Fair. Okay.
Good job, folks.
Okay. Are there any other public comments on non-agenda items?
I have no public comments.
Okay. Are there any oral communications?
Staff has no oral communications. Just to clarify, we're changing the section to state matters initiated, and that this section will be used for committee members or staff to propose certain agenda items that could be discussed at future meetings. It's not an opportunity for discussion at this point in time, but it would be a request that some item be discussed and heard at a future meeting.
Okay. I was wondering if staff could. Never mind. I'll take it back. I'll do it myself. I was going to say.
Bring coffee.
No, I wasn't going to say bring coffee. I was going to say invite maybe one of the city council members to come to a meeting. I have yet to see a single one in a year. But I can do that myself.
I have one question. According to the minutes of last month's meetings, the chair, which would be you, requested that the staff email
the
monthly reports.
So we had added that under when we sent out the agenda, there was a little blurb at the bottom that said if you'd like to see the monthly report, it's posted on our website. So we were just going to add that as a reminder at the bottom when we send out the agenda, so don't flood your emails with lots of emails. I just want to reiterate that that is available, always be posted on the 15th of the month, so that's a webpage that can be visited at any time.
Because that's actually different than what Brendan asked for, right? Because you're saying it's available.
Well, I think Brendan had suggested to review the report before we submitted to City Council, but the report is not just for the grant program, and it is a report required through our service agreement, so it is separate from the committee's involvement. But if there were certain items that committee members would like to have included, we'd appreciate if you wanted to write us an email with certain feedback or emphasis you'd like on certain areas, we could look at.
My concern about when I made that comment was because I know that there is historically a kind of summary of what the progress has been or the situation has been at the REC made to the council yearly. Am I correct in that or am I incorrect in that?
In the past, been yearly, and it wasn't any kind of sophisticated report.
Okay.
It didn't.
That's why I was under the impression that there was a report about this process that was submitted, and I wanted to make sure that committee members, and more importantly, the chair, whoever it may be, have an opportunity to see and or comment on that. But if it's not a specific report, then maybe it was for naught.
So we have a monthly report that as the program administrator, the housing authority submits. So you could definitely view that.
Right, and it's not just that this is the only item in that report. There's several other items.
But we talk about everything that as the program administrator we administer. So it includes the RAC, it includes terminations, it includes relocation, it includes capital improvement, and it includes summaries of our outreach and different efforts that we're doing. So how we're doing as a program administrator, what challenges we're having, what trends we're seeing. So it's really more a report from the program administrator standpoint, but it does include the updates on the RAC cases.
This is an interesting point because according to what we just passed, you as chair are responsible.
I know, I saw it.
For all correspondence, reports, and other instruments approved by the committee.
No, I saw it.
Well,
that would not be.
But that's
this
not bad.
This is the ETA report, yeah.
Yeah, the report I'm talking about does not need the approval of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Separate, it's the program administrator's report to the city on how we're doing as a program administrator. But like Jennifer said, you can definitely give us, look at the reports and give us feedback on areas you think we can emphasize.
But there's no specific RAC report, right?
No, there's no specific RAC report.
Okay, that was my concern.
It's a report on the entire program as a whole. Mm-hmm. And that's the responsibility of the program administrator.
I'm just wondering about the rules and procedures that we just approved. After those edits are made, will a copy come back to us? Or will we have to go find it?
If you'd like, yeah, we can send you an
email.
Certainly, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that'd be great.
It will probably be posted on our website, too, for transparency.
That's always going to, it's coming to issue because I can see the city council is asking on a continual basis, how's it going at RAC? You know, and while I think that if they ask any of us individually, we can answer, if there ends up being an official response, I think really, Brendan, you should be involved in that and you should take some responsibility for the content of that report.
I just want to suggest something. So, for example, at this point, council has directed city staff that they come back at some point to report on how the RAC process is working. So I think that would be a good opportunity where I can bring you in when we make that presentation.
I think it would be helpful.
Yeah.
I personally asked that the members of the council come. So I guess when I was asking about maybe if you folks could ask, because I didn't really get that much of a response, but I don't think that's appropriate, so never mind. I'll just ask again.
Yeah, but still, you know, I think...
Right, your point's well taken.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, and we should get that process more formalized, too. So if there is a RAC-specific report, which I think the ordinance requires a RAC-specific report.
No,
anyway.
It's not. It's not a RAC-specific report. It's so...
I think the ordinance requires a report.
At the end of the year.
At the end of the year.
That's what I meant. The end of the year RAC report.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would just like to reiterate, I think there's a little difference between, you know, we keep track of all the data. And that's what we're focused on and what we can provide specifically that we have to show with our records. How many cases filed, how many resolved before the hearing, how many resolved during the hearing, what were the percentages. And that's what we keep track of, and we do have a document, and you've seen it, which each case that has been filed with us, which shows the initial amount of the rent increase and then what the dispute status was. And reports that get more into the dynamic and character of the process, you know, that hasn't really been... They don't have something specific like that. The reports we're referring to at this point are really data reports.
If you would like to see as a group whatever report or staff report is provided to council, whatever report back, we're happy to bring that to you prior to going to council.
I think
prior
that
to submitting
that would be a good idea.
Assuming that time will allow because we have to submit staff reports at a certain time.
Yeah,
so, it could call for a special meeting.
Well, I have a concern about that. I'm not suggesting I need to sign off on staff reports. That's not my job. And I wouldn't want to overstep my bounds. My concern, and the only reason I brought that up, is because I thought there had been, and it sounds like there is, and it sounds like the ordinance requires that there's a yearly report about what happened.
And I just saw a section here.
Yeah.
Annual review, section 658-195, the community development director shall annually prepare a report to the council assessing the effectiveness of the programs under this article and recommending changes as appropriate.
That's my concern.
The program administrator on the entire program, not just the RAC.
Oh, really?
It's the entire program.
Because, well, this is the ordinance for
the
improvements and terminations.
You know, if we want to prepare a report, we're completely free to. We can just decide this is something we'd like to put on the agenda for one of our meetings, and we can talk about our ideas and decide who's going to draft it and review it and submit it to the council. If we feel strongly that we'd like to, I think we should.
Well, And when we're, when the program administrator is going to present the annual report, you're also more than welcome to submit comments as a committee if we wanted to, individually.
When does that come up?
Those.
Do you know when that comes up?
I don't have a date yet. So it really depends what happens in November, right?
Yeah, things are really up in the air, aren't they?
Right. So
right.
It could be December.
Okay.
Jennifer, are those data files public records? Are they available to the public in general? You said most of the other records that, that you keep for RAC are data on each case, how they're resolved.
Yeah, it's published on the website.
It's public.
Okay. We have one for ongoing to date,
and
we have one
spreadsheet. Yeah. Staff tries to keep everything on the website so that we don't get any specific requests. Just to be really transparent.
Okay. Additional concerns?
Well, I just want to say before it leaves my mind, one of the things that I'd want to say is how much I appreciate the staff.
Yes.
I just feel like you guys really, first of all, I feel respected, you know, by you, and supported as well.
Well, maybe we should make that a report to the council.
Huh? Well, I think we should. I think
it's on our own time. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I guess just to address that real quick, too, I think that this process is somewhat new with the new roles of the committee, and that we've developed lots of different forms and modified those forms, and you've provided feedback on different aspects of it, and it's always been really helpful. And so I just would say, please don't ever hesitate to give us feedback.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, let's move to adjournment then. Move to adjourn. The time is 9:03 p.m. We're adjourned.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, everyone.
All right. You still open up an agenda item.